Maharaj, there is a question. There is a famous and misattributed quote, mistakenly credited to Albert Einstein. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, mm-hmm. but expecting different results. Mm-hmm. So the question is, why repeated hearing from Sadhu, Guru and Vaishnavas is not insanity?
Because as Guru Maharaj would say, we should hear from sane thinking persons. So, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, this means from the sane section. Like, when the first devotee in the Western world in America shaved his head and put on robes, the people thought he was crazy. So he was institutionalized, like thrown in the madhouse. And Srila Prabhupada this prompted him to write an essay that was published as a pamphlet, the title of which was "Who is Crazy?" So Jagadananda Pandit in the Prema Vivarta, Pisachi Pile Janamati Chanahoi, Maya Grishta Jivarahoi Se Bhavudoi. Pisachi means the witch, so he's saying those who are like ghostly haunted are Mati Chana, which is it's a Bengali expression that translates basically as crack-brained. Like, your brain is cracked. And so when you're under the clutches of Maya, illusion, then what is the outcome? It says they speak all sorts of nonsense. Meaning like a mad person. We've seen when someone is considered to be ghostly haunted and they're wandering around the streets talking to themselves or to the world, having conversations, and no one pays attention to them. Say, oh, they're mad. They've lost their mind. They've lost their senses. So no one's listening. One director put in the voice of a person like that a critical line, maybe to show, hey, I'm clever. So you think, oh, it's just a crazy person walking down the street, but he gives him the significant line, and as often as the case, it's from Shakespeare. So the crazy person saying, out, out, brief, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. On a lighter note, that sort of sums it up right there. So, really what that is applicable to is those deluded by Maya, right? That, immortality is right around the corner, we're one discovery away. With reference to the concept of Shudra, Srila Guru Maharaj pointed out that actually, etymologically speaking, Shudra can be defined as one who laments, or one who's crying or wailing. So then Guru Maharaj went on to say, one who accepts this world as all in all, he will have to lament. Inevitably, he will have to lament. Like the verse so often quoted by Gurudev, from Guru Maharaj, from Gray's elegy, the boast of heraldry, the pomp of power, all that beauty, all that wealth e'er gave, awaits alike the inevitable hour, the paths of glory lead but to the grave. So for one who's accepted this world as all in all, he's saying, inevitably, invariably, inevitably, indubitably, they will have to lament. Because game over, we're mortal. The body is, at least. And this is horrifying for the eternal soul to identify the self. Please whisper. To identify the self as something that is non-permanent. In one sense, if we understood that our identity was otherwise, then perhaps we could deal with it better. But to transfer our identification from permanent, eternal, immortal plane to the mortal, the mortal coil, the mortal frame, and then be threatened with impending mortality, and then at last to experience that, is horrifying to the soul. It's anathema. Mortality is anathema to the eternal soul. So, when the scriptures, when Vedic advice is given, avritir sarva shastranam bodhadapi gariyasi, that to repeatedly hear from the sane section, we can expect or hope for a sane outcome. Right? Guru Maharaj's other way of expressing is normal thinking persons. So in this world, what do they say? It's folly to be wise where ignorance is bliss. In this world, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vaishnava, the sane section, the normal thinking persons, are thought to be mad. Right? Speaking of, you know, phrases and aphorisms, another one that's attributed all over the place is, and they were thought to be mad by those who could not hear the music. Right? Those who were dancing were thought to be mad by those who could not hear the music. You can attribute that to many. Say Einstein said it. If you want to get people to pay attention to it. Right? They'll say Nietzsche said it. It's understood. It's another misattribution. But it rings true to people on various levels. So it's even applicable within Krishna consciousness more specifically. And if we want to color it spiritually, then we'll say in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yani sha sarva bhutanam tasham Jagrati Samyami. What is night for one is the time awakening for another, and vice versa. Right? So spiritual culture is seen as madness to materialists, and the activities of materialism are seen as a useless waste of time to those substantially engaged in spiritual culture. just as in explaining what is man shunyata. One of the qualifications of Bhava Bhakti means an absence of ego or abhiman. And Guru Maharaj expressed it in an interesting way by saying, the Bhava Bhakta, and say, does not see any value in the people of this world and their opinions. Please sit within view, okay? They don't crave their approval because they're saying, who are these people? They're mad in misidentification. Right? So why should they crave the approval of the mad? Right? Rather, Vaishnavi Pratishtha Tatikoro Nishta. Pragmatists, they will say, oh, we should concern ourselves with whose opinions matter. And by that, they mean to eliminate the divine or the possibility of divine sin. That's not verifiable. We can't say, like, we should live our lives, you know, to please the gods. Come on, we don't know if there are any gods or goddesses for real anyway, right? But yeah, I see you, you see me, we know each other. You have some feelings about what's right and wrong, and I do. We should all get together, share, and then work something out that's equitable for all. And who's going to argue with that? That sounds like reasonable. But in one fell swoop, they've eliminated. They're saying, this divine stuff, come on, who knows? Right? We can't prove that it's real or anything. But then here comes, if anything, the flaw in their thinking, they'll say. So, but we find there are people in this world who cannot properly, fully express themselves. Right? They're not writers, thinkers, eloquent speakers. But we should care about what their opinions matter too. Who expresses their opinions well? Writers. Writers, right, like the English, the best of what has been thought and expressed in literature. They, you know, Dickens, he expresses the position of those people who don't have a voice. By hearing that voice, you'll become empathetic. Your empathy will enlarge. You'll be a better person. It'll be a better world. Right? Who can argue against that? But what they're telling us is the best of what has been thought and expressed is in what? Adventures of the intelligence, imaginative literature, fiction. If you want to express the truth, write fiction. But I thought you said at the outset that the reason we were going to dismiss all this divine literature is because it can't be proved. But then you're suggesting we will enrich ourselves most through fiction, which is produced by the adventures of the intelligence of genius-like thinkers. So if then it should be irrelevant whether or not these things can be proved. It's whether or not they resonate with us. Like Bhagavad Gita. I mentioned Bhagavad Gita before, right? That sloka, Yanisha Sarvabhuta. What's night for one is day. Time of awakening for the self-realizing, and vice versa. So that Bhagavad Gita, we're told that it is, begins, Sanjaya Uvacha. Right? Sanjaya is speaking, and Dhritarashtra says, oh, Sanjaya, you know, what did my sons and the sons of Pandu do, you know, on Kurukshetra? Dharmakshetre, Kurukshetre, Samaveda, Yutsava, one of them, Mama, Pandavaschaiva kim akurvata sangjaya, something. What do they do? And then Sanjaya, what is he? He's supposed to be in a mystic trance, right? Vyasa prasada chrutavan. By the mercy of Vyasa, I heard this conversation. Is another way of saying, I wasn't there. Right? So he's saying, I wasn't there. I didn't literally hear Krishna telling these things. I wasn't there like on the side of the chariot or like, you know, listening, overhearing their conversation. Vyasa prasada chrutavan. By the mercy of Vyasa, there was some mystic transmission of this dialogue, holy dialogue, and I'm presenting it to you. So that tells us that Sanjaya has some mystic capacity. But that's good enough for Dhritarashtra, apparently. But not only good enough for him, good enough for everyone else. I find it peculiarly interesting that Western rational thinkers find substance in the Bhagavad Gita, when actually they should just dismiss it out of hand, right? And say, what? So you mean these mystic revelations of this person, they're recorded in a book and everyone, it's a big fuss about it. They don't say that because the substance of the Bhagavad Gita is so overwhelming that the method of transmission is irrelevant. They find so much there, just as one of their own writers said, praising the other, one of the contemporaries, I forget who it was, but he was saying that he referred to, he said, we need nothing more than the power of their authorial voice to accept what they're saying. You understand? He's saying, the power of their authorial voice, that's all we need. We don't need any other type of verification other than that. He's more or less saying, it's self-evident, it's self-revealing. Now, if he says that about his contemporaries, people think, how generous, how thoughtful, how kind, how profound. But if we say, the authorial voice of Veda Vyas is self, and the substance delivered by him is so overwhelming that we need we don't seek any other verification for that. They'll say, that's mad, crazy religious people. But if they someone produces a work by them and they go, it's divine. That's one of their favorite things to say. In high praise of someone's work, artistic, it approaches the divine. Mozart is divine. It's just divine. Right? This theory, the way it's been expressed, it's practically divine. As if to suggest that divine was a good thing. Or some sort of high level of achievement or revelation. Perhaps it is. In that case, then how does that which is divine express itself in this world? Through just being really good at something as a human being, or being inspired? As one literary critic suggested, that he said, he wrote a book called The Anatomy of Influence. That these writers, for the most part, they like to present themselves as though they're like mushrooms. They just sprung out of the soil. You know, there's no deep roots or anything. They're just unique. You know. But for those who study such things, they can always find, oh, well, actually, you see, within their writing or their style or whatever, we see their gurus, their Guru Varga, so to speak, their predecessors. We can see who they studied. And in living memory, the ones you could interview or when you would press them, you'd find out, you know, that Updike liked Hawthorne or this person liked that person. You know, they all have their sacred cows. Funny, all these sacred cows except the cow. But that's another subject. Then you find out who's in their background. So he called it the anatomy of influence. He's analyzing, if you can study this, then you'll see they were influenced by another person, another person, another person, and whether it's Western literature or going back to the Greeks, which they generally think is the beginning of civilization, so much so that they had a course called Western Civilization. And that's the only course. There wasn't a course called Eastern Civilization. Just Western Civilization. They might have one now, but before they were just sort of caught. Yeah, Western, so that's it. Western, it only started here in Greece at this time. And we see today what a wonderful example of Western civilization and achievement Greece is. That's humorous. Anyway, so there's that idea that... why did I say that? Because...
Sacred cows.
Huh? Who influenced them? But Srila Guru Maharaj will point out that when it comes on the Vedic side of things, they use the word rishi, right? Which is based upon drishi, like darshan. Many people have heard of the word darshan, and they think, oh, that's when you go see the deity or the spiritual person. Guru Maharaj will remind us sometimes, in the case of the deity, you know, you're presenting yourself to be seen by the deity. We have very little capacity to see the deity, but the deity has full capacity to see us. So present yourself for darshan, to be seen by the deity. But another, we'll hear, Gaudiya Darshan. Well, what does that mean? Darshan is also a Sanskrit word for, generally, philosophy, or a philosophical perspective, a philosophical way of seeing things. So the Gaudiya Darshan would be which way of philosophically seeing things? The way of Mahaprabhu and the Goswamis and their followers. But it's so rishi comes from drishi, darshan, gyaninas tattva darshina in Bhagavad Gita. Right? They are seeing and experiencing the truth. Right? And it's passing through their consciousness into this plane in form of the mantram or spiritually inspired speech. But they're called rishis. The word sarshti, creation, is not new. They don't consider themselves authors in that sense. Like someone said something to Guru Maharaj once about, well, Vedavyas wrote this, and he said he compiled. Right? And we know he's penned certain slokas. But like Kaviraj Goswami, when he's presenting Chaitanya Charitamritam, remember, he's in his 90s when he begins this project. So he's arthritic, he's legally blind, and he thinks in any moment he may leave the world. I mean, these are serious considerations, right? And he's saying, but he knows that what is passing through him, as Guru Maharaj said, the greatest literature to ever see the light of day in all time, all space, and all creations. put that on the flap. You know, that's like the ultimate review. The greatest book to ever see in the light of day in all time, all space, and all creations. It's hard to top that. And so he's saying, it is not me, I, who am expressing these things. Madan Mohan is moving my hands and writing these things. On the one hand, we might say, what arrogance to say that. It's as sometimes people do, they go like, I didn't write this, God made me do it. Oh, that's mighty humble of you to. Yeah. It's not my writing, God wrote it through me. So, one type of person, we would dismiss them, you know, out of hand. But in the case of Kaviraj Goswami, we don't. Right? But he's saying something similar, but we don't think it's ridiculous. We accept it as being substantial. Just as when he, remember early on, he's saying, how did this come about? Because he begins with the appropriate statements, praising Gaur and Nityananda, the Panchatattva, who's Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He, you know, has appeared again as Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many, those foundational slokas are there, called from Srip Damodar, Rupa Goswami. But he also needs to introduce himself, like, well, who are you to express all of these things? I mean, that I'm shy to express these things, but he can understand also the readers, they need to, it's part of being, how do you say, polite and thoughtful to give them some backstory, how this came about. And he gives that example about when his relative disrespected an intimate associate of Nityananda Prabhu, which led him to chastise him, saying, you claim to be a follower of Mahaprabhu, but you're not showing proper respect for Nityananda. That's unacceptable. You have to, in fact, Mahaprabhu himself has shown you must first worship Nityananda if you were to have a connection with him. Anyone who bypasses Nityananda to go to him is living in a fantasy, right? Fictitious devotion. It's a hallucination. It's aparad. Right? And he's saying, having chastised his brother in this way, which also, that was not Nityananda directly, but his devotee. It's all significant. So think about it. Meena Ketana Ram is the devotee of Nityananda Prabhu. Why? Because the devotee, tasmai deyam tato grajam sa cha tata pujo grahyam. The devotee is equal to the Lord. So then what happened that evening, Nityananda Prabhu appears to him to approve, to give him entrance into Vrindavan. He's very pleased with what he did, showing the proper understanding of the primacy of the position of the devotee. State in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, in the second sloka, Nirmat Saranam Satam. And if you were to enter into this understand proper Krishna conception proper, then you have to have proper substantial regard for the devotee, because it's through the devotee that you get Krishna, not directly or otherwise. So having passed this test, Nityananda says, go now, Krishna, go to Vrindavan, you'll get everything there. So in Vrindavan, and there he's expressing what was gifted to him, shared by Swarup Damodar and his assistant, Raghunath Das Goswami. they're the observers and the keepers of these confidential Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, pastimes that are unknown in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Kaviraj Goswami saying, I won't, whatever's been expressed by Vrindavan Das is perfect. So I won't repeat what he's told. But if there, it's, he himself indicates there was more to be told, and if there's an instance where something was not told by the grace of Srupa Damodar and Raghunath Das Goswami, then I will mention that thing. Like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're approaching January 15th, Makara Sankranti, when Mahaprabhu takes sannyas. This is sort of the one day on our calendar that is identified on the solar calendar. After taking sannyas, Mahaprabhu, we know he's wandering for some days like a child, but in deep viraha bhav, separation, searching for Krishna, taking sannyas, search for Sri Krishna, reality of the beautiful. But he goes in different places with a handful of devotees, but then Nityananda and Advaita conceive, because this is devastating to the devotees in Navadvip, and what to speak of Mother Sachi, Vishnu Priya, we can't even conceive the depth of their separation. Chaktva sudushta dusarepsita raja lakshmin, the throne, the Krishna Prem and the imperial heart of Vishnu Priya. He had to leave that to rescue Maya Mrigam Doita Ipsita Ambadabad, to rescue the fallen soul. Bande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. But Nityananda and Advaita devise a scheme, so they tell these cowherd boys, if this sannyasi wandering in ecstasy comes by here and asks, where is the Jamuna, point in this direction. Because Mahaprabhu was saying, what is wrong with the people here? There's no Harikata, you know. And then some cowherd boys are going, Haribo, Haribo. And he said, oh, Vrindavan and the Jamuna, wherever the Ganga and the Jamuna flows, the holy name is there. And he sees them and they're dressed as cowherd boys. And he, must be Vrindavan. Cowherd boys, oh, and the river, where Jamuna? They go, that way, as Nityananda told them. Then he goes there and he bathes. He's saying, Chidananda Bano, that sloka in praise of the Jamuna, the daughter of the Sadananda Shuno, Jagat Prema Datri, and you know, lick Krishna Prem in the form of a river. And when he comes out of the water after bathing and praise, singing the praise of Jamuna, there's Advaita Acharya waiting with dry cloth. And he starts coming out of his internal mass and he's saying, Advaita Prabhu, how did you know I was in Vrindavan? And Advaita Acharya says, wherever you are is Vrindavan, and I knew that. Wherever you are is Vrindavan. How sweet is their conversation. Mahaprabhu lost in his divine manner, saying, how did you know I was in Vrindavan? What is Advaita? Mahavishnavadhar, Sadashiva. Wherever you are is Vrindavan. That's true. No argument there. Then he realizes, oh, that sannyasi was Nityananda. He played a trick on me. And he said, well, you know, he knows everything. Because we're told, what is it, north? No, east, west. The western side of the rivers considered of the Ganga can be considered Jamuna. So he said, it's not that he lied. But then they take him to Shantipur and sent Nityananda gives word to Mother Sachi to come and see Nimai Pandit there. But afterwards, and then Advaita's singing and very beautifully, and he's singing Viraha Bhav, Radharani-like songs. What she sings, it's coming from the heart of Advaita. Now, who I was feeling separation from, now today he's in my house. Really, it comes from her, but he's singing Mukunda, and Sachi comes, she's cooking, and now they're happy again, festival, festival. But then Mahaprabhu gets Mother Sachi's permission to go to Puri. And on the way, he's saying, you know, Jagannath wants to see me. He sent word. Like, don't go to Vrindavan right now. Just come and see me. I think Jagannath wants to see Mahaprabhu. Wants to see Krishna Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita. What is Krishna like when he's enveloped in the heart of Srimati Radharani and the radiance of her heart is turned Gauranga Sundar and Shama Sundar into Gauranga Sundar? Heart and halo. So with unblinking eyes, Jagannath stares at the dancing of Mahaprabhu. So, these things, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, even if you don't understand them, if you hear them repeatedly, you will become insane. I decided to endorse the statement. Three insane people are ruined, destroying Navadvip, they say. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. That means Brahma's Haridas Thakur. Shiva means Advaita charge in this context. And Vishnu, by extension, means Mahaprabhu. So they say three puggles, three crazy people are ruining Navadvip with their divine madness. So here, we're doing the same thing over and over again, praying for madness, praying for insanity. I say, have you lost your mind? I say, I'm trying. It keeps haunting me with these substitute selves. And trying to lose that mind. It's like, that's why Mahaprabhu would tell, when Sanatana was proposing suicide, Mahaprabhu was saying, look, that's, you know, like you're not getting at the root there, my friend. The body, you know, spring, there's a subtle plane that's generating these things. So just a trim job, that's not going to do it. You're going to generate another one, another one, another one. And in fact, if you could get Krishna by suicide, I'm ready to do it 1,000 times a minute, but that's not the way you get Krishna. Right. So when Mahaprabhu is on his way to Puri, they stop in Remuna, right? Gopinath, Kirtor Gopinath. But what is that pastime. Well, Mahaprabhu telling his devotees, sharing with them what he heard from Ishwarapuri about Madhavendrapuri. That's not in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's mentioned they stop there and then they go to another place. That's in Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. So remember, Kaviraj Goswami said, if Vrindavan Das has described something, that's perfect. I'm not. It would be offensive or arrogant to reiterate the same pastime. Sometimes they'll say just Devi Bhav at the house of, you know, Chandrasekhar. But the full Devi Bhav pastime at the house of Chandrasekhar charges in Chaitanya Bhagavat. But here, Vrindavana says, they stopped in Raimuna and saw Gopinath. But so there, Kaviraj Goswami, here we have something to say. At the request of the devotees, they begged, pleaded, Prabhu, when they heard these things from him via Raghunath Das, Srip Damodar, please, you must record them for the future generations. Otherwise it will be unknown. These pastimes will be unknown, except for that select few. So, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Leela, very huge. And then taking sannyas, small, the Madhya Antya, finished. And Chaitanya Charitamrita Niyama, Adi Leela, very small. Then take sannyas, Madhya, it's because it's Shesh Leela, divided in two. Madhya Leela, 6 years, is huge. Right? And the last 12 years, or 18, smaller. But after taking sannyas, that part is huge. And Kaviraj Goswami, again, considering his situation, fears that he may not be able to express all these things. Now he has all the senior devotees imploring him and giving their blessings. Madan Mohan conferring approval, the garland before Haridas Pandit and all the devotees in Vrindavan. Still, he's not arrogant. He makes no assumptions that this, he's knows it's all mercy. He's saying, I could go at any time. So then he thinks, Madhya Leela chapter 2, I should express everything in a condensed way. And he says that, and Gurudev liked to chant this chapter, it's around 70 verses or so. He would chant all of that. And Kaviraj Goswami is saying, so here it is, the most important things to understand that weren't addressed previously. But if I live, I'm going to, you know, express more. Chapter 3, he lived. And there, so when Mahaprabhu arrives there, we hear the story, he's saying, oh, this deity was Gopinath before, but then became known as Kirchor Gopinath. Like Krishna, like Makanchor, the butter thief, Gopijana Bastra Hari. But here, Kirchor Gopinath, apparently, he has a strong tendency to steal. It's showing up in many different ways. An identifiable trait, character trait. So why is he stealing Kier? One could ask. Because you say, here's it, what's this deity's name? You know, the Kier thief, Lord of the Gopis. Oh, really? There's no Kier at home? It's not available? why is he doing that? I thought in the Gita, he says, I own everything. You know, now he's reduced to thievery. who owns everything. Something's not, right here. This is insane. You're worshiping someone who, is prone to law-breaking and immorality in the name of, religion, or this is not right. So, and we hear Gopal, as we told the other, appears to Madhavendra Puri, take me out of Vrindavan Forest, establish worship. He does. They have the Anakut, everything's going, but then Gopal says, I still feel feverish. I need chandan and camphor. And they have the good chandan and camphor in Puri. So, second dream, Madhavendra Puri. Immediately, he's elderly. He's on a mission from God, or better, a mission from Gopal. And goes there, but he stops in Ramuna on the way. Then what do we hear? That they, like everywhere, they have some special preparation for the deity. And they make this kheer. What is it called? Amrita Keli, I believe. I'm pretty sure. So it's very special. Means like a condensed milk-like preparation. And they offer that to Gopinath. And Madhavendra Puri is saying wow, maybe I can find out how they make that and offer it to Gopal when we go back. But then just see the type of thing of the higher level pure devotee. He doesn't think hey, I'm Madhavendra Puri. Read Charitamritam and understand who I am. He's thinking, on the plea of I want to taste it for Gopal. Really, I want to enjoy it. But I've manufactured this, it's for it's for the kids, it's for Gopal. Now, I'm a disgusting person. So he goes off and he's like, what kind of a man am I? What does it mean to be a devotee? How long do you have to go on with, Atma Samiksha, self-analysis, and is there no end to it? And you know what? There's no end to it. That's what we learn. Okay? There's not some point in going, boy, glad I don't have to do this whole self-analysis thing anymore. Guru Maharaj said, if you think that you've become Krishna conscious, he didn't say that's unhealthy or that's not. He said, if you think that you're Krishna conscious, he said, you're finished. That's what he said. Madhavendra Puri, back to that one verse that ends on Govinda Padaspriham, Mugdam Mam Nigadantu Nitti Nipuna, etc. He's saying at the very end, let everyone criticize me, saying I'm in a cult, I'm misled, I'm, naive. He lists every possible opposition that people expressed towards someone who's pursuing Krishna consciousness. And then he says, after all of that, he says, add to it, you can say I've lost my mind, the whole list of all the things that people said, and you can add to that, that I don't have it. Because it would be bad enough if you had the whole list, but I got it and I'm happy with it. He said, no, add to it that I don't have it. Why don't you add that to the list? What I left the world for and why I left all of you people behind, you insane, sane people, is, and I don't have that very thing that I left you for. Add that to the list. But I'm not going to budge an inch from my determination, Govinda Padas, I'm aspiring. This is so wonderful, so high. In the midst of non-achievement, I go on. It's that compelling. That's adarshanam marmahatam karotuva. Not getting it, we continue with the madness, with the insanity. The delightful. Mahaprabhu says to Ramana, Ami ek botul tumi dvitiya. I'm like crazy number one, and you're crazy number two. Two crazy people. What did the friend say? Folie à deux. Yeah. It means shared madness. I mean, I'm, you know, folie means, you know, foolishness of two, of the two. Shared madness. Krishna consciousness is shared madness. I'm liking this theme more and more as we go on. I was supposed to say, how, oh, it's not that. Now I'm saying, yes, now you've understood. Einstein would agree with me if he knew that he had what I'm saying. He obviously didn't say that. So he's sitting there doing that self-analysis that all Krishna conscious people do, questioning their motives, healthy skepticism. And that evening goes on, the pujari goes to sleep, pujari has a dream, deity appears before him and says, I stole one of the, they make, what, 12 pots of kheer? Or say, I think so. He says, I stole one of them. You think, well, they're being offered to you anyway. Like, I like stealing. That's what, when the gopis complained to Yashoda about Krishna breaking in their houses, stealing stuff, and Yashoda says, why not leave some yogurt and leave it out? So I didn't have to break the pots and all that. And they go, no, you don't understand. Your son enjoys stealing. So it's not that, because yes, Nanda Maharaj has tons of yogurt, butter. Why he has to go to other people's houses and is saying, apparently he enjoys this. So tells the pujari, I stole a pot of kheer. I cannot tell a lie. Actually, he can lie very nicely. But, and so please find the devotee whose name is Madhavapuri, and it's for him. He's a great devotee of mine. I stole the cure for him. And that pujari, he's running out like, is there, you know, Madhavapuri Maharaj, Madhavapuri, please report to the cure station. Gopinath, you are so fortunate, Gopinath stole cure for you. Madhavapuri, please, you know, like, I'm all right, here. Gopinath stole this kheer, wanted you to have it. And Madhavapuri is tasting that divine substance. He knows the quality of that substance, can recognize. But then he's also, just see again, how does he think? He doesn't think like, oh, tomorrow I'm going to be famous. This will be great. Everyone will know what a great devotee I am. Gopinath himself stole kheer for me. Right? But instead, he's thinking, I got to get out of town before everybody wakes up. Because they're going to go, oh, taking dust. And, you know, he's fleeing pratishta. Vaishnavi pratishta tati koru nishta. Our concern is with the Vaishnavas. We think their opinion matters, not the opinion of others. Therefore, man shunyata. So he goes to Puri, but they've heard, you are that Madhavendra Puri. He's carrying the pot broken. He takes a little piece of the pot every day, the clay pot. And happily, they give the chandan and the karpur, the sandalwood, like 40 kilos. That's a lot to carry around. And an appropriate amount of camphor to work together, and you put down and cool the body down. So then with government stamp, papers, everything, the past custom, there were customs. You know, we think only we have to deal with these things. There was customs. But he stops on Raymuna on his way back, and Gopal appears to him a third time in a dream and says, actually, siddhantically speaking, Gopinath and I are one. We're the same. So if you give the chandan and the karpur to Gopinath, that's as good as giving to me. I'll get the benefit from that. So he reveals that, and then they hire the guys. They're making the sandalwood pole. I think 40 kilos every day, and they're offering, and but then you think, was this story told because Raymuna's on the way? It's on the way. Mahaprabhu's path from Katwa and then later Shantipur to Puri, it's on the way, Raymuna. Right? But, and this pastime, is it like anecdotal? It's a very sweet story, isn't it? But then the chapter's not finished, and it's right after the chapter 2. It must be significant, have other significance. Then what does Kaviraj Goswami say? He talks about when Madhavendra Puri was leaving this world. And he says, what, as Gurudev asked once, yesterday, Vaishnava Maharaj's disappearance day, Bhakti Sharan Vaishnava Maharaj. He asked him, he said, what is the supreme sloka of Rasa Kavya? And we think, well, maybe it's something in the works of Rupa Goswami, or maybe something very confidential, something we wouldn't generally express, or... But Krishna's conversation saying, is announcing, here is the supreme sloka of Rasa Kavya. Kavya means poetry. But, poetry is almost an insult to what that is, but just for sake of speaking. Because it's reality being expressed in a particular way. Supreme reality. And then he says something very interesting. That because this verse is deceptively simple. He's saying, it came from the heart on his disappearance bed from Madhavendra Puri, and he is echoing the sentiments of the heart of Srimati Radharani. She originally spoke this. So it means it comes from Radharani, just like the last verse of Sikshastakam, comes from Radharani herself, expressing the depths of separation, where we understand the deepest, highest quantity of Krishna prema is mind in the depths of separation. Right? Bahi, which is the subject matter of Charitamritam. Bahi visajalahoi bitore anandamoi Krishna prema adbhuta charit. And he said, so Madhavendra Puri, the seed of the Chaitanya tree, Gauranga Kapavriksha, and Mahaprabhu is relishing this. Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Mahaprabhu, and he said, there isn't a fourth man with this, you know, capacity for appreciation. Then he, what is it? And he says, you know, it's Ai Dina Dayadranata He Matur Nata Kadava Lakshase Kim Karomiham. Anyway, and it seems to be saying something very simple. Radharani in separation from Krishna saying, how will I go on in separation from you? Gurudev told me once, Guru Maharaj explained this to him. Because we say there's not a fourth, but still we'll take it. Mahaprabhu means Rupa Nugalayan. And Gurudev, he told me before leaving, he said, the two key words are Deen and Doya. Deen, fallen in want and need, and Doya, merciful. So here Radharani is expressing the depths of separation in a very simple way. And he's saying, this is the supreme verse, sloka, Vrasa Kavya. And saying, I don't see how. We can't understand. Then what did he say? Like Chandan. You just heard the story about Gopinath, Kirchor Gopinath, and Madhavendra Puri and the Chandan. So the Chandan, when you rub the Chandan, right, you take that stick and grind it into the stone. Gradually, by repeated, it's transformed. The essence comes out, is revealed or expressed. So he's saying by repeatedly, faithfully, Shraddhan Bhato Anushrinaya Dattabharnaya, considering this verse, like the rubbing, as it comes out by repeated consideration of this sloka, the meaning will become known to you. That's what he says. Then we can say, oh, so this pastime of Mahaprabhu going to Raymuna and telling about Madhavendra Puri, it's perfect to be the third chapter of Madhya Leela. Right. The only thing is, and the insanity of Krishna consciousness, by repeat, you know, considering the same things over and again, you do get a somewhat different result. Because you're dealing with the infinite. So what does Vrindavana say? Like a bird flying in infinite sky, it's according to the capacity. Right? Or the swimmer plunging in the depths, like, you know, snorkeling? That's on based on the lung capacity of the snorkeler. So he's saying how deep you can go and extract those gems. Rupa Goswami is saying some similar things on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So here, in fact, in the beginning stage, we can say they're considering the same thing over and over again. Guru Maharaj also says the repetition of sensation is not experience. But if under the guidance of Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnav, there's repeated hearing of these divine subject matters, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is giving his personal guarantee there will be a revelation. If you faithfully, he's imploring the readers of Chaitanya Charitamritam. So they're repeatedly revisiting these subject matters. And some new light, new color is being expressed. Because it is something living and growing and dynamic. But to appreciate that, there has to be life, growth, and a dynamic approach by the aspiring servitor. God helps those that help themselves. He can't say, like, we'll give nothing and then just be endlessly amused by the agents of the upper world. That's not described anywhere. Ramananda says, when Mahaprabhu said, Ami ek batul tumi duti, I'm crazy number one, you're crazy number two. Ramananda said, actually, all these things that I said, you caused me to say them. Like, you know, if a musician was playing an instrument, and then they're praising the instrument. If the instrument can talk, the instrument can say, but you know, you played me and made all these things come out of me. That's what Ramananda is saying. And it says in the beginning of that chapter, what is it? Sancharja Rama Bida Bhakta Meghe Gauramritam Chayamritani Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamritani. That there's like this ocean of Bhakti Siddhanta, and Ramananda is like a cloud, like the cloud draws, you know, through it takes its shape or form, substance, drawing from the waters of the ocean. And then it rained back on the... So Mahaprabhu is that ocean. Ramananda appeared like... And then rained back on the ocean. But it gave the ocean great pleasure. So he is praising Ramananda. Ramananda is praising him. But Gromar would say, but this was said to be madness by the people in general. But with reference to our friend Einstein, people could think, you know, what he's thinking about, talking about, is madness to the normal, the so-called normal people. So is he mad or are they mad? These are some things to consider. But svadhan vato anushanayat atavarnayedyak means faith. Some faith, you know, fidelity, faithful hearing, faithful reproduction. Not modified by individual temperament that is infused with ego, egoistic assertion, pratishta, self-assertion, self-aggrandizement. So the devotees offer the flowers to the book and say, and in doing so, offer themselves as an instrument for expression. So Guru said, the repetition of sensation is not experience. There has to be realization. The anatomy of influence, tene brahma hrida, heart-to-heart transaction. One heart coming under the influence of another heart. Not data transfer, information, knowledge, gyan, but we call this gyan, vigyan, and pragyan, prakrishta gyan, divyam gyanam, which is a heart-to-heart transaction. And that's the mysterious nature of this. Hearing these pastimes, we hear them faithfully, and they may touch our heart in some particular way. And the heart, under the influence of that touch, may express something meaningful or substantial. Hare Krishna.